Exodus chapter 35, verse 1, to chapter 36, verse 7. If you're following along in a church Bible, it's page 94. But before I read, let's pray. Father, you promise that whenever your word is sent out, it will not return empty, but will always accomplish the purposes for which you send it. We pray for Hector as he comes to speak to us, that he would proclaim your word clearly and faithfully. And for us as we listen, that we would hear what you're saying to us and remember it throughout the week. In your name we pray. Amen. So, page 94, Exodus 35, beginning at verse 1. Moses assembled the whole Israelite community and said to them, "These are the things the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a day of Sabbath rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it is to be put to death. Do not light a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day." Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, goat hair, ramskins dyed red and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. All who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle with its tent and its covering, clasps, frames, crossbars, posts and bases, the ark with its poles and the atonement cover and the curtain that shields it, the table with its poles and all its articles and the bread of the presence, the lampstand that is for light with its accessories, lamps and oil for the light, the altar of incense with its poles, the anointing oil and the fragrant incense, the curtain for the doorway at the entrance to the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the bronze basin with its stand, the curtains of the courtyard with its posts and bases, and the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard, the tent pegs for the tabernacle and for the courtyard and their ropes, the woven garments worn for ministering in the sanctuary, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests." Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for all the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, ramskins dyed red, or other durable leather brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord, and everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. So Bezalel, Aholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work.
Thank you very much, Sarah. And thank you to Josh and Sarah for the old age part, which actually makes my job a lot easier, because I think what I'm now doing really is to just recap a lot of what they have said. As you probably have guessed, and as you were listening, a lot, in fact, maybe before I say that, let me just say, given that towards the end, we lost a little bit of the text there. That's partly why it is always important to make sure you've got a Bible with you, rather than just follow on the screen. Because occasionally I want to go back to a passage, and unless you've got a passage in your hands, sorry, a Bible in your hands, then it's a bit difficult to do that. So this morning's passage, anyway, as I was about to say, particularly as you go down to verse 29 of chapter 35, is really God essentially giving instructions about a building project. So I thought, in some ways, this, I'm not sure if I'm using this one or I'm using this one. I hope I'm using the right one. I'm using the right one. Okay, that's good. So I think in some ways, this building project passage does very much resonate with us here at Emmanuel, because in quite a number of times and in various stages, this has formed the backdrop of the thinking of the church about the future, really, of this church. Now, what I will not do really is to try and read from that passage specific instructions for what we should do about our building project here, because obviously if I was to do that, I'd be stretching that passage beyond the limits of its elasticity. But what I'm hoping to do really is to just draw some principles from it so that we can learn how we here at Emmanuel can also use the principles that were given by God to the children of Israel about how we go about giving. So I think the first thing that I want us to notice really is in the first three verses that were read earlier on, and I'll read those again, verse 1 to 3. Moses assembled the whole Israelite community and said to them, "These are the things the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days, work is to be done. But the seventh day shall be your holy day, a day of Sabbath rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it is to be put to death. Do not light a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day." So, in fact, before they can even start on what clearly from what you could see from what Sarah was actually outlining, was a lot of work, despite the fact that these guys couldn't actually build one. But there was a lot of work to do in order to build the tabernacle. But despite all that, the first thing he says you must do is rest. That's the first instructions he gives them. There's a lot of work to be done, but before you start all this work, he says, you are to remember the Sabbath rest. Now, I think here what the resting that the Lord is referring to for them, for the Old Testament Christians, was really to do with after God had done his creation, he rested. Having completed all his work of creation, he rested. The work of creation had been finished. But here for us in the New Testament, as it were, the Sabbath, therefore, follows after God has finished his work of recreation in Jesus. So what he's saying is that all our efforts of building, and here I should hasten to add, when I talk about building, I'm not really concentrating on the bricks and mortar necessarily. I'm talking about the building of the church in all its sense, whether it is extra staff or any other ways in which we build this church up or build one another up. So this building, the effort that we put into it, we are told that any building that we really want to do, it must first be on a foundation of resting in that in the work that God has done in Christ. Otherwise, all our work really is, he said here that if you do not do that, whoever does not work, does work on it. In other words, does not rest. Such a person must be put to death. So if we are actually attempting to build without having any foundation that is based on that rest, then all we are building really is just a mausoleum that is full of dead people. And we really don't want to do that. So what does that mean on an individual basis? So on an individual level, what this means is that first and foremost, we must sort out our relationship with Christ before we even need to be concerned about giving to the work towards this church, the work that is going on here. So maybe you're here and you want to know God's forgiveness. So you feel that giving to the church will either make up for all the wrong you've done, or maybe will make God look more favorably at you or be more welcoming towards you. But you see what the words here say is that God has already done it. Everything that is needed for your forgiveness, God has finished it. He has done that work in Jesus Christ. There is therefore nothing left for you to do. And because God has finished that work, we rest in that finished work. If you are in that position, then I would suggest that you seek to restore your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with Christ, before you decide on how much you are to give. I think that is of the utmost importance to all of us, really, that before we give, we must make sure our giving is built on the foundation of giving to God, giving because we are resting in Christ. And only after God has given these instructions, does he then go on, having told them the fact that they have to rest, does he then go on to give them the detail on how they are to carry out the building project. Now, I'm not going to go through each of the instructions that are given. I think Sarah and Josh, between them, have done a pretty good job of that. And I don't even intend to go through it in the order in which they appear. But what I'm hoping to do is to just mention a few things that will help us to understand what exactly is required of us. And I think, again, I'll stop saying this because I'll keep saying it. And then that a lot of what I'm going to do is really repeating what has already been said in the old age. So if we look first at verses 20 to 21, then the whole Israelite community withdrew from from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord. You kind of find this, in fact, maybe earlier as we were reading, I just saw it in verse 5 as well. If you read verse 5, you get a similar message being given there. And then if you drop down to the next verse, verse 22, it says, all who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold, jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. And then if you look at verse 26, and all the men who were willing and who had the skill span the goat hair. And finally, if you drop to verse 29, all the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. I'm sure you kind of get the message there. But in fact, what I did is I generated a word cloud from these words. Now, I tend to do these word clouds a lot, and maybe for those who have seen it for the first time, a word cloud essentially is you take a bunch of words, throw them in a generator, and all it does is it counts the number of times the word occurs, and then it plots them back where the size of the text is corresponds to how frequently that word appears. In other words, the most important part of that passage. So if you throw these verses into a word cloud generator, you get this cloud here. And what this is telling us is the biggest idea in all of this passage is willingness. Willingness is the main thing that God is trying to tell us. God channels the work that he wants to have done through the gifts that he has that are given by people who are willingly giving it. Willing is the biggest idea in these verses. And I think we should take from the repeated willing theme that there has to be no coercion, no compulsion. We all are really being asked to give, but we have to give willingly. I think Josh had a green thumbs up to show that. Willingness is the main idea of these verses. We have to, and I think the bit from the 2 Corinthians part that Josh read also said God loves a cheerful giver. So that's the first thing. So first, we have to rest in Christ. We have to make sure our relationship with Christ is sorted. And having done that, then we have to be willing to give. We shouldn't be giving under compulsion. I then generated another cloud, word cloud, from verses 25 to 35. And this is the result. Now, I don't know if you're able to work out what are the two biggest. In fact, there's three fairly big-ish words here. But I think the point I wanted to make with this cloud is that although giving money is important, and of course, for us, it's very versatile. If we have money, there's a lot we can do with it, which we can't do with some of the other things you may be able to bring. But there is three words, brought, skill, and work, that appear the most in that. It's a big chunk of verses from 25 to 35, about 10 verses in all. And I think this is the outcome of that, that essentially we have to bring not only money, but we can bring our skills. And I think we saw what lack of skills can do we still have some tools lying around carelessly there for someone to trip over. But I think the point really is that we have to bring skills, but also we have to bring work. I don't think any of us can say, I'm not skilled in this particular area. I think if you've got hands and you're here, then you can do something to make this church a viable church. There's a lot that goes on, and I think Bev was just talking about distributing those Christmas event cards. I don't think that requires a lot of skills beyond walking and knocking on doors. Maybe you don't even knock on doors, you just slide them in, right? Yeah. So I think what this is saying is that there is a lot of work that needs to be done, and all the skills that we have to be brought to bear on the work of God. And I'm not a great DIY person, so this is about the only time that I'll give you a positive and a glowing picture of IKEA furniture. Because I think if you get an IKEA furniture, it comes to you flat packed. It's not actually usable in the form that it is given. So you need someone who has the skill to read those instructions, follow the instructions, put it together, and make it usable furniture. That's the end of the IKEA plug there. So in fact, I think if we saw from the bit from verse 35 going downwards, in fact, there were two guys from verse 30, who are being commended for their ability to do work, their skills to actually not only to put together all these things that was being brought together, but also being able to teach others to do those things. So I like the fact that this says, if you have wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all kinds of skills. So if you have any of the wisdom, maybe some of us doubt whether we have a lot of that. Understanding, I don't know. Knowledge, but certainly all kinds of skills. That makes it a little more inclusive that all of us can find something that we can do. There is something for everyone to do, and to do it willingly and cheerfully. The last thing I wanted to mention really is from this passage is directed more at those who are charged with the responsibility of managing the resources that God's people bring. Planning is not only an imperative, it is a must. And I think it's fairly clear if you looked at these verses. For example, verse 5 to 9, which gives you a detailed list, an inventory almost, of all of the things that are needed. You get a detailed list of that. And then going on further that, you actually get a detailed list of the tasks that need to be done. It's like a schedule of work. So the people are actually made well aware of what it is that is expected of them in order for that project to be carried out, to be completed. And I think in verse 36, in chapter 36, verse 6 to 7, what would seem to be the case there is that even the actual budget for the whole week is well known. It's not something that you kind of keep giving and just in case, just keep giving. No, they get to chapter 36 and verse 5. Then Moses gave an order and they sent this word through the camp. They basically restrain them from any more giving because they have achieved their budget. They've got to where they need to get, and there is therefore no need to carry on giving. And I think what I wanted to say really with this is that when God's people are asked to give towards a cause, whether it's a project, a building project, or some other work, they should expect that this will be well organized, it will be planned, and it will be managed, well managed, to the glory of God. I think that is an important part. The giving is very important. We don't, and I'll just recap here. The first thing we have to do is make sure that we are resting in God's Sabbath, that we are building our foundation on God's finished work, the finished work of Jesus Christ, that we are actually resting in Christ before we choose to do that, to choose to give to that work. And then the second thing is that God channels the resources to his work by gifts that are given by people with willing heart. And the third point is that although money is important, it cannot be the only way to give to God's work if you have wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all kinds of skills. Then a willing and cheerful heart, you should be able to give with those. Any of the skills that you have to the church, put them at the disposal of the church. And finally, if you are charged with looking after the church's resources, this must be well organized, planned, and managed to the glory of God. I know this has been short, but I hope we are able really to take away some principles that should guide our giving. Because when God gave, he gave everything for us. He withheld nothing from us. Or in the words of our last hymn, there is no more for heaven now to give.